many different things to ask you about. From the broadcast side, I'm kind of curious. For you, what is your travel schedule? What is your itinerary here as we move closer? How far in advance do you need to be there? Are you bubbled? What are you looking at? What are you facing here as we get ready for the play-in round?
No bubbling for us, which I think is different than the Toronto Hub, which has got a lot of NBC personnel who are kind of going through that. I like the fact that we don't have to be in that bubble, because I might get to have a few walks and get some fresh air. I'm going in day before Flames Oilers exhibition game, so I'm going in on Monday, and I will be there for up to a couple of months, I guess.
Yeah. So, and your workload will be, because there's a lot of hockey to be played. You will not call all of it, but what are you going to be at the helm for?
I told the bosses that my max would be three games a day. I'm not doing more than three a day. But it looks like it's, to start with, it's the Canadian series. So we'll get the Flames and the Jets, the Hawks and the Oilers, and the Wild and the Canucks. So be two game days, I guess, every second day, and the other will be a single to start with, and they might sprinkle in if there's an open spot in the schedule and games of significance. We might sprinkle in one of the round robin games or something from the Arizona Nashville series.
Have you done anything quite like that in terms of workload on a daily basis?
You know, at the Olympics in Pyeongchang, we called three games a day, and that was for a couple of weeks. And when they first said that would be the assignment, I thought, yeah, I don't know if this is going to work. But you got into a bit of a rhythm with it, and the games were separated kind of a noon start, a late afternoon start, then an evening start. And once you get going, it worked out pretty well. So I don't think I can blame overwork, but you always worry about, if you get a little bit of laryngitis or whatever, and all of a sudden you got two games that day, that can be an issue. So it'll be interesting to see how many extended overtime games we might get on a busy day or two.
That's exactly the thing I was going to ask too, because you know there's going to be some, and every round one we get them, and you know we're going to get them here. They're going to have to be a little flexible with start times. And I'm also curious, you're also a hockey fan. While you're not calling games, are you going to be hanging at the rink? Because these could be some potentially very long days.
Well, I think if you're doing a little pregame scout for your next game, you are hanging around. But I'm wondering how much of that round robin between the big four teams everybody's going to be hanging on, because it just doesn't seem to have the same drama as a 3-5 elimination. I mean, we know the St. Louis Blues are going to be in that opening round, and Dallas and those teams. So am I going to be hanging on every play in a game involving St. Louis and Dallas? I'm not sure in round one, but later on, if you know that it's Calgary or whoever playing St. Louis next, then you start to pay a little more attention.
He is Chris Cuthbert, going to be the voice in the Edmonton Hub of the NHL playoffs coming up on Sportsnet. Ryan?
Chris, where's your, I guess, confidence level been throughout this? I know back in March when things paused, we didn't know what the future was going to look like, and seemingly predicting 2 weeks ahead has been a fool's errand. Have you been skeptical at times? Have you always been confident this would go off without a hitch? And are you certain that this is going to finish this tournament?
I'm getting more confident. I don't know if any of us really knew what to expect a month or two ago, but so far so good. I mean, there are certain little lineup issues for some teams, like Jonathan Taves just left the other day, and Corey Crawford hasn't showed up in Chicago, but it sounds like everybody's getting back in Calgary and Edmonton and Vancouver. I don't think it's been an issue for players. So I think everybody's thought, if we can get to the Hubs and everybody's in pretty good shape, then it's a go. And I'm kind of at the point now where I'm only thinking about it being a success. Now, if we get there, what happens if it goes through one team? That's a big question. I did a series a number of years ago, Vancouver and St. Louis, and the Blues led the series 3-1, and then we started hearing about a flu bug that went through the Blues, and the Canucks roared back and won that series. And so, I mean, it can happen even in, you know, pre-pandemic, but I am wondering what happens if not just one team, but more than one team gets really hit hard once we get to the bubble. But for the most part, I think this can be done, and I think so far so good for the NHL.
I love the slate of games you're going to call here in this play-in round, the three Canadian series in the Edmonton bubble. Do you have any specific matchups that you're fascinated about, or a particular matchup that you're just salivating to get to start calling?
Well, I think we're spoiled. I think Vancouver-Minnesota is going to be long. You know, an all-Canadian matchup is what I signed up for when I came over. So the possibility of it anyway. So I think, you know, I think there's a lot of reasons to be excited about the Flames and the Jets. And I'll watch Connor McDavid anytime he wants to play. So it's all good at my end. I think it's all going to be spectacular. It's kind of, for me, it's like a Canada Cup or World Cup that we had a few years ago in the fall. It's kind of like that on steroids, or a little bit of March Madness sprinkled in. But I think the fans seem to have a real appetite for hockey, and which isn't always the case when you're talking about summer hockey, but this year's different, and I get a sense that everybody can't wait, and that's certainly the way I feel.
Chris, I'm curious what your preparation's been like the last even 2 weeks here. As this thing starts to take shape, you understand where you're going to be, and as Ryan said, all the series you're going to be calling. What's the preparation look like? Have you been watching some games from March and February, or what have you been up to the last, you know, week to 10 days here?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, it's gone back further than that. When I first kind of got a sense that this was happening, I started with all 24 teams. I guess I was keen and had a lot of time on my hands, so I watched at least a half a game for every team, and then 2 or 3 weeks ago they kind of hinted that I'd likely be out west, so I started dialing in on the 12 teams, and I've really in the last couple weeks now kind of dug into the six teams I'll be doing in this first round. So the Canadian teams plus Minnesota and Chicago. So and in the next week I'll really kind of take a day and really get in deep on each of those teams. Yesterday was Calgary day, so just looking for some extra stuff, some stats or roll-ins that we can use, so I like to go player by player at this point. So we're getting there. I must admit that I can over-prep at times, and if they want to drop the puck tomorrow, as long as Craig Conroy's not the referee, then I'm good.
Well, it's nice that we got you after Calgary, Dan. Then I guess you can maybe tell us, what are your thoughts on the Flames, and what do you see when you look at the Flames as they get to take on Winnipeg?
Well, I'm a little bit curious about what they're going to do in goal. Who gets the call? And you guys probably know a lot more about that than me. But I like the fact Derek Ryan's back in the lineup now. It's still hard. I keep hearing great things about every team, and all the skill guys right now are shining in every city. And you know, when it comes to playoff time, it's not going to be all about the thrill and skill. So, you know, it's hard to draw too many conclusions right now. But what do you think, Talbot or Riddick?
I was going to say, don't assume we know any more than you do, because we were just having the same conversation last hour.
Clearly.
It's a tough one, because Riddick at times has looked very strong, but then he's faltered, and Talbot much the same way down the stretch. Talbot was looking more like the more confident goalie for sure.
Yeah, and that's one of the other questions. When we prep for games, we'll often say, "Well, this guy, I mean, he's been hot for the last month," but the last time these team played. It was 4 months ago. So Mika Zibanejad, guys like that who were just lighting the league on fire, and Kevin Fiala for Minnesota. Have they just broken through to a different level, or were they just hot 4 months ago and there's no carryover at all? So there's a million questions going into this, and that's kind of what makes it all pretty exciting. And the one thing Winnipeg, I would think, would have the edge in, and that's why I bring up the goaltending, because of Connor Hellebuyck. But, you know, do goaltenders, are they going to be are they going to be at the same level as skill guys after such a long layoff? Does it take a while for them to get their A game back? And maybe that goaltending edge that's perceived going in isn't an edge at all. So, you know, it's all new, and it's going to be pretty interesting.
Well, Chris, you mentioned it. You've done Olympic Games. You've done events where there's multiple games a day, and we know that these facilities are the best in the world. The refrigeration systems are fantastic. But have you given any thought to what some of the ice conditions might be like after three games on the same surface in one day?
Yeah, it's I was thinking about that in Korea. And sometimes that late game, you know, could be an issue, especially once we get into extended overtime periods. And I guess there's going to be an hour and a half or 2 hours between games when the previous game's gone to an overtime period. But is that enough for the ice? Hopefully Edmonton's past the any heat waves of the summer by the time we get there, but we can't even be sure on that. But it is what it is at this point, and they'll all have to adjust to it. Can you imagine what it would have been like in Vegas, though?
Yeah, I know. That's what when we were saying the same thing all along. Vegas kept being trotted out as we get there's lots of hotels and all of that, but between spiking COVID numbers and the incredibly high temperatures, it just didn't seem like why it was becoming a fit. And then at the end of the day, they end up going with Toronto and Edmonton. Chris Cuthbert is our guest. I wanted to ask you a little bit, I guess. The start times. The Flames this week have three inter-squad games, one at 8:30, one at 12:30, like just afternoon, and one at 4:45, which will mimic their games 1, 2, and 3 against Winnipeg. I don't know. I've never played. It's going to be very difficult, I think, for some players to A, get into it without fans, and B, to get jacked for a 12:30 game. The preparation is going to be interesting for these teams.
Well, you know, I know NBC used to do a lot of 12:30 games even during the playoffs. So it happens. In fact, I think NBC even had the LA Kings, I'd have to check this, but I think to get a noon start local, they may have got to get a 2 o'clock start in the Eastern time zone. They might have even played before noon in LA. I'd have to check that. But hey, it's just like these guys going back to their minor hockey days and tournament time, and you could play at any time during the day, and you got to be ready. And I think more than the time of the game, it's going to be interesting to see how they respond to no crowd. And Marcus Foligno, I was reading, for Minnesota, he's a guy that tries to change the momentum of games with big hits, and he was even questioning whether or not that will work the same way with no crowd, because often you do it to get the crowd in the game, and now that won't happen. So will the same big hit reverberate in the rink? Or will it jack up the bench, or will it have less effect because the crowd didn't react to it? So lots of stuff that we're just going to have to dip our toe in the water and figure out how it all starts to unfold.
You sound like a little kid. You must be so excited. We all are, and obviously you're going to be right in the teeth of it. Nothing like this has ever been done. How excited are you, from a fan perspective?
Yeah, that's why. I do get a sense. I'm just I was out for a walk last night, and a few people stopped and they said, you know, I'm going to be in my pool, but I'm going to be watching all the games. So yeah, it's going to be a different fan experience. But I think people really have an appetite for it right now, and I certainly can't wait. And it is kind of like Christmas when they don't give you one series. At playoff time, you're either doing a game or you're watching, and if you're watching, from my perspective, it's I'd just as soon be there. And the fact I can be in the rink for three different series is great for me. I hope people don't get tired of my voice, because I'm going to be enjoying it, and I hope they do too.
Before I let you go, Peter Maher, longtime Flames voice, always said if his voice was starting to go, he would drink or gargle vinegar. Do you have any magic potion to help your voice, your vocal cords?
You know, I was listening to a few podcasts, and I happened to be listening to one with some British broadcasters who cover soccer, and they were talking about these lozenges I'd never heard of before, and so I went on Amazon and ordered these British lozenges. So we'll put those to the test. John Garrett always had a supply of Fisherman's Friends. So between that and these new found lozenges, hopefully there's no other medicinal ingredients that.
Well, I was going to say.
Yeah. I might veer off course, and if I do, you know it's the lozenges.
Yeah, you got to be careful. The gummy candies and lozenges can get you in trouble these days. Yeah, be careful.
Yeah, that could be trouble. I better read the ingredients.
That's
here.
Right. And if nothing else, I hear Jack Daniel's works too. Just a quick.
There you go. But vinegar, I might have to get a little vinegar too.
Yeah, never know.
His voice never let him down.
You'll have quite the array of products back there. Some vinegar, booze, lozenges. You'll be all set up in that broadcast booth.
Well, I don't need any hair products, so I might as well have other products.
Can't wait, Chris. Thanks for your time, man. We're so excited, and we know you'll be great.
Great to be with you guys. Enjoy.
Thanks. You bet. There he is, Chris Cuthbert.